Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to all the visitors here this morning, and singing the beautiful songs of Zion together. What a blessing this morning to be here. I think the words to Psalm 137 there, where the psalm writer wrote about those songs of Zion, how he would never forget them. He said that though my tongue would cleave to my mouth in death, you know, that he would never forget Zion's songs there. And so this morning I was going to have a little devotion here on a subject here that the Lord has been teaching me on, and it's something. The subject is something that every man in this world desires, and the subject is the driving force behind man's desire to go faster and bigger and climb higher. And it's a relentless pursuit of all mankind, and it's the search for contentment in life. And I wanted to share a few thoughts on that here this morning for a text verse. We'll go to 1 Timothy 6 there, a few verses there that I'm sure you're all familiar with. And I'm not here to teach anything new this morning, but rather to exhort us, and just something that God's been trying to teach me. 1 Timothy 6, there, verses 6 through 8, Paul's teaching there. And teaching there about the various teachings of false teachers, and the context here is there's a lot of faults, there's a lot of lies out there, and even by so-called spiritual leaders of our day, there's a lot of false teaching. And he talks about the perverse, verse 5, about perverse disputings of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, there he says. He says that teaching, there's many teachers out there that teach God is, we're here to simply to receive the blessing of God, and supposing that gain is godliness. And he says it's a lie. And he says, verse 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. He lists two things there that we would need to be content, to be fully content. And obviously, having the new birth and having the indwelling Spirit of Christ is paramount to all of that. But he says food and raiment, you know. There's another verse there in Philippians 4. I'll just read that. Chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. The Apostle Paul again testified that he understands that, and he said, he has learned that. Verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So he's talking there, he says there that This contentment is not with having much or having little, but it's in an attitude of our heart, and it contrasts to the way man thinks in every aspect of it, to just be content. And it's a beautiful thing. A title for these thoughts would be the treasure of contentment. You know, do I have that treasure of true contentment in my life? It's a treasure that will bless our lives in many ways. And God's ways are marvelous. And when we do things His way, you know, we won't find fulfillment without doing things God's way. And a few verses here. So the Apostle Paul teaches that over and over. He talked in another verse there, and in Timothy there, he told the believers there, that told Timothy, I guess he wrote this letter too. He said, "You've seen my life." He said, "My manner." He called it his manner of life, and purpose and faith. He said, "You note those things." He said, Paul spoke about his manner of life, and I think his manner of life was one of just contentment there. And I want more of that in my life. And I'm not talking about I'm not just talking about you know, money and possessions, but I'm talking about our motives, the restlessness, just our motives of our inner heart, the things that make me, you know, do what I do. What do I search at? What am I spending my time on? You know, my spare time. You know, what am I searching after? What am I doing with my time? You know, am I contented, or am I discontented? One verse there, the life of Jacob there was one of a beautiful example of that there in Genesis 33. You don't have to turn there, but Jacob was an example of a discontented young man. Even when he was born, it appears there was some sort of squabbling going on with his twin brother and Esau. And Jacob went on, much of his life is marked by just a discontented spirit. Just, you know, he was taking this away from, you know, he took the birthright away from Esau. He was a striver, and he was not contented. But towards the end of his life, after he met the Lord there in his vision there that night, and he met God. God just revealed Himself to him. And Jacob, most of all, I think Jacob just surrendered. But he was beginning to make some amends there, and he met up with Esau there, and he took a lot of gifts to Esau, because showing Jacob's changed heart, and he took a lot of things he had, and he met Esau there, and he said, "Esau, I brought some things as a peace offering to you," and Esau said, verse 11 there, he said, "Don't want them, Jacob, you know." And Jacob said, "Yeah, I really want you to take them." He said, and he made the statement there. He said, "Take, I pray thee, my blessings that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. But he said, Jacob made the statement at the end of his life there, that I have enough. I've got enough, you know. I'm fine. God has given me. He dealt graciously with me. I have enough. That's a picture there of a contented man, a man who has fought through a lot of battles, but he feels like, I've got enough, you know. And beautiful place to be there. But we live in America here, and a society that's built upon fast money, debt. Capitalism lends itself to a discontented life. It's built up that the pillars of capitalism are you need to get ahead, you need to get bigger, stronger, faster. And so everything is about, you know, the billboards you see, the advertising, just tends to, can make us discontented very quickly. The retailers, this trap of just a little bit more, you know, I need just a little bit more, and then I'll find this content. I'll be content. I'll spend more time with my family when I can just have just a little bit more. And that aspect, contentment, is kind of a mystery. You know, it's kind of one of the mysteries of God. Most things in life, you have an itch, you scratch it, and it feels better. You know, but contentment isn't. You can't, the itch of discontentment can't be taken away by just more stuff or doing more things. God's upside down kingdom is a mystery. And the mystery that few people find, I think. And but the psalm writer in Psalm 73, Asaph wrote this psalm, and he wrote about. Let me find it here. Verses 25 and 26, he said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire but thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, he said, God is my portion. You know, is God your portion today? I think the songwriter there wrote, John Newton, in the song Amazing Grace, one of the lines are, he said that, he will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. I think Spurgeon, or one of those guys, wrote preached a message many years ago. It's titled, God, the Portion of Man. And but if the world around us cannot see contentment, this contentment and peace and love, they'll conclude that we don't have the real thing, you know, if we show a discontented lifestyle. So I want to just get practical here, just a contented home, the beauty of a contented home. Some things that we've been learning, and it's in the busy, we're in the busy summer season here. It seems like there's always something to do, and there's daylight savings. It seems to take any evenings you had, but you know, just to be contented, you know, why is it so hard to stop in the evening and gather around as a family, you know, around the living room or around a campfire outside? Why is that so hard? Why do we feel we need to go someplace to do that for, you know? I think it's discontentment in my heart that thinks, well, we'll spend more time when we go camping or something. We have to go someplace. What a blessing to be able to do that just in our homes, you know? And I understand life is busy, and God gives us duties, and work is good for us, and they teach us the disciplines of life, but to make time to just do that with a contented heart. Contented children, you know. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of contentment in our children. You know, there's just a lot of things to do, and a lot of, you know, and you know, we want to, there's a lot of opportunities to do things and go places and buy stuff and to just be busy. And, you know, but Children will not learn contentment by having more. They just won't. We have the two pictures. You know, we have, you know, just a quiet evening at home. You know, sharing a meal together. Everyone enjoying what mother and cooked and just sharing a meal together. Compare that to, you know, going out to eat, you know, and the children scanning their menu. Let's see, I want this, and the other one said, no, I want this over here, and I like this, and you know, yeah, there's a time to take the family out to eat, probably. But it just doesn't bring that contentment in our lives that our homes so desperately need. And God made us really, really quite simply, you know. He made us some very simple creatures, and when we live that way, it brings contentment because that's how God made us. You know, He just made us that way. And a disciplined child will be a contented child, just satisfied, taking care of the things before us, being diligent in the things before us. It brings satisfaction in our life. You know, that child will sing. He will be a blessing in our home. Fathers, are we teaching this? You know, our church needs contented young men and ladies. Our church needs that desperately. It discontentment will trickle into our, it's bound to trickle into our spiritual lives. It just will. Fathers, are we taking time to do this? Are we taking time for our children? I read a story here recently about a man. I'll just read it here. He said that he was at Walmart looking at fishing lures, and the fellow came up to him and said, "Hi, my name's Jim. Do you know how to fish?" And he said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Can you take me fishing?" And I stammered a bit, and the man said, "I'm serious." He said, "I'll pay you." He said, "My dad never took time for me, and he didn't care about me, and he never did. Would you? I'll pay." He said, "I'll pay you. How does $400 an hour sound to you? I'll pay you a lawyer's wage, $400 an hour, if you take me fishing." And he said, I looked at him, and I told him, "A father's love is worth way more than $400 an hour." I told him. He said, "You can't put a price tag on a father's love, you know, just a father spending time with his children." With today's technology, he continues writing here, that we can do so much in so little time, but has that resulted in having more time for our children? What is happening? So many good things to do, so many meetings to attend, so many missions to support. But if we aren't taking time for our children, they will become part of the mission field that we are trying to reach. Think about it. When you take time to entangle your son's fishing line, is that really all you're doing? He will have much worse tangles in the future. Who will he trust with those? Yeah. Can you put a price tag on a father's love, the father teaching his children? Young families, there's a number of young families. I'm blessed to see the young families growing in our church. And, you know, young families with two children and a mortgage, you know, take heart, you know. You're shaping another generation, you know. The blessing of contentment. The youth here, I'm also very blessed by the youth here, there's difficulties in life, and it's normal to feel anxious about your future, and sometimes just resting is hard. And you know, I encourage you to talk to someone. You need to talk to someone, you know. Bear those things. Find a friend, your parents. Just talk about those things. And so I wanted to some things to do here to combat the discontentment is, you know, just have a habit of giving, you know. Number one, just giving, tithing, personal involvement in others' lives. And maybe you're a busy parent right now, and maybe that life is maybe your child's life, you know. But a habit of just giving, you know. Cam Christian Aid Ministries has been sending us things in the mail lately through the coronavirus. There's just a lot of needs, a lot of desperation in this world today. And does it touch our life? Does it? You know, I think it speaks of contentment when we're busy ourselves, when we think of others. Second thing is just a thankful attitude, you know, thankfulness. Will lead to contentment. Will help us with that. To find, you know, to get to that place in life where I will not complain about anything. You know, just a complaining spirit, murmuring, you know. Even the potholes on the road, you know. Mom and Dad, you know, if those potholes bug us on the road, they'll bug our children too, you know. Just be thankful we live in a county that does have some pretty good roads, and they work pretty hard, you know, and we're thankful for the roads, you know. There's just those little things like that, just a thankful attitude. Another thing that can damage, bring discontentment is a fearful spirit, you know, a fearfulness of failure, of not being able to provide, you know. I think Brother Aiden spoke about fear, about unbelief today, and I think that leads to, you know, just fearfulness, just being fearful of you know, it's opposite of just trusting God's promises. Yeah, I just close here with a scripture here in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He says, the Word of God tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man should do unto me. Just close with that, and thank you for allowing me to share these thoughts with you. And no, I don't share those things like I've arrived, or but to exhort each one of us. And God bless you all.